I'm forced to reflect on the fact that the world wants to determine whether we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, if we are essential or not, if we can have services or not. The first shot has been shot. That shot says we can do this and we can do that, we cannot do this and we cannot do that. Fair enough. Well, there comes a time when it matters not what man says, but what God says. The reason man is able to do what man does today is because there's not been a demonstration of the power of God, and there's not been fear, the fear of God. Well, we cannot blame the world that they don't have a fear of God, because in the church, we have demonstrated by our actions that we don't have the fear of God. People do whatever it is they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and everything is just fine. Well, the world has learned much from us not to have that fear of God. But that change comes. It comes because of the power of God that comes upon the church. The Bible tells us, I'm amazed at the Lord. I'm having a private discussion. come with me to the book of Acts for a moment. To the book of Acts, chapter 5. It tells us about the demonstration of this power of God that struck fear deep into the heart of the church right at the very beginning. We're talking about, we want the move of God. But with the move of God comes the discipline of God. Just like the glory of God, first thing the glory of God does is it generates mayhem. The glory of God kills. Deals with Dathan and Abiram, and the glory of God showed up, men dropped. When the glory of God came upon the church at Pentecost, shortly after that, the people were bringing their stuff, and there was a man and a woman, Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible tells us their names. They came and they said, we're giving our all. But the reality was they hadn't. The name Ananias means the one that Jehovah has graciously given. He was given as a gift, blessed as a gift to the body. But he was withholden when he watched other people doing their thing. He came and said he was doing his, and that it was his all I'm giving my all. Oh, well. But it wasn't true. He had given partially. And the Bible says that when he said that in verse 4, the Bible says Peter spoke to him and says, while it remained, the lot and the property that you sold, that you said you've brought all the funds and the resources of, whilst it remained, wasn't it thine own? It was yours, wasn't it? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? It was yours. After you sold it was yours. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. His lie was that he had sold his property and that all the resources from that particular property he was now putting at the feet of the apostle. It wasn't true. And when he made that statement, the Bible says, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. And what's the next statement? Read it with me. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And after he left, the wife, whose name was Sapphira, came up. And she told the same lie. She was in agreement with her husband that they had given everything. And once again, she dropped dead. Fear came upon the church because judgment starts in the house of God. Judgment starts in the house of God. When we're talking about relating with God, we're talking about relating with God with the fullness of our heart. God doesn't mind you saying, listen, I'm giving 50%. If you say to God, I'm going to give you 50%. Okay. 50%. But don't give God 50% and tell him that you're giving 100%. Are you with me? All God is asking from every one of us is that we be people of integrity, that will be true, that will be real. Because, child of God, I want you to know very clearly today that with the presence and the baptism and the power of God comes also judgment. If I don't say that, then I will be telling you an untruth. We must have a fear of God, a reverence of God. When you have the fear of God, you understand that God sees all things and he knows all things and he understands all things. I need to demonstrate daily where I am in my stand with God. Because we've not honored God that way. We've become dependent on the world telling us whether we are essential or not essential. Down south, in the state of California, some of the churches decided that they were essential after all of this. We are essential. The government says, okay, you're not that essential. And we're going to allow you to have so much people in your services. And you can have half capacity, but no more than 100. It doesn't matter whether you're a 1,000-member church or 2,000, no more than 100. So they decided to sue. And they lost, and they took it to the Supreme Court. And guess what the Supreme Court said? We agree with the government. Now, that's precedence. Do you understand? Precedence. A precedent has been set to control what the church can or cannot do. They just need to tweak that law. And you see, in life, you capture ground, you occupy it, and then from the ground that you've captured, you capture more ground and you occupy it. And then you capture more ground and you occupy it. You don't need to bite the whole elephant and chew the whole elephant at once. Chew an ear, chew a trunk, chew a leg, chew whatever. One bite at a time. The radical left, the very liberal in society, have captured one piece at a time. And guess what? The church has followed them. So, in the church, we have more broken marriages than the world. They said, we are not compatible. And the church came, we're not compatible. And they went for abortion, and we went for abortion too. They went for homosexuality, and we went for it too. Whatever the world wants, and whatever the world leads on, we have followed. Because we have not had the fear of God. We've had the fear of men. Now, the way to change that is not by suing, is by demonstration of the power of God. And in this dimension, I might be crude for a moment here, but in this dimension, as the Lord led us to do here, hey, Prime Minister, if you don't back off, you're going to be fired twice in one day. And it happened. Are you with me? In this dimension, we will speak with the authority of the Word of God and say, that's it. Do you want to live or do you want to die? Because overnight you can be eaten up by worms. Yeah, right. Okay. Bye. And when he wakes up or tries to wake up in the morning, he finds out that he cannot wake up because he is D-E-A-D dead. And when it happens once and it happens twice, somebody's going to listen. Don't mess with those people. We are having a service. Do you have anything to say about it? No. Do whatever you want to do. But that fear must start in the house. For the God that you do not honor will not honor you. The gods whose word you do not honor will not honor the words that you speak. Because God wants to bring us to a place where we are in partnership with Him. So that what He says, we say. And what we say, He is saying. Because we have the mind of Christ. Somebody listening. We are not going to have our freedom by legislating it, suing for it. Moses did not have the freedom for the people of Israel by negotiating it. He demonstrated the power of God. Let my people go. No, we're not good. Okay, you're going to have flies, man. There's going to be blood. All of your water is all blood. There's going to be frogs jumping all over the place. Your cattle is going to start dying. Whatever it is that he said, so it was. Until God broke down the gods of Egypt to the very last one. I know a man of God, or knew because he's gone home to be with the Lord, who took hold of my country, Nigeria, in that authority. When he spoke, government listened. When he spoke, kings listened. When he tells you that's what's going to happen, you listen. If he says to you, if you don't stop messing around here, you're not going to the bathroom for the next 30 days. That's it. You're not going. Hello? You come with your demonic activities and things will boil in your head. Come, Pastor, come lay hands on me and you bring in evil stuff. You'll be cooked up right there. His name was Benson Idahosa. He generated so much fear in the hearts of people. They did not mess around. Under that unction, under that authority, God will do greater now. Amen? I said he will do greater now. Now, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying that we don't go by the rules of the natural world and the kingdoms of this world. That's not how we're going to be the people of God. We are a kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God. Sure, we will give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but we're not going to give to Caesar what belongs to God. Amen? I know they're listening to me, and they can listen all they want. I don't have the fear of any man. I have first and foremost the fear of God, not of man. Because there's nothing man can do to me that is eternal. Praise the Lord. We as the people of God must embrace the truth of God and understand that the God that we serve is supreme. He's not only sovereign, he is supreme. He is number one. And there is no other God besides him. He alone is God. And it is to him that you and I belong. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord wanted me to share that first. He says in the world, you get tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Amen? You have an overcoming God. You have a God who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You have a God who stands for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The manifestation of God's glory and his power causes the world, when they have done the worst they can, to flip around and say, the ones that have turned the world upside down, they come in here too. Hallelujah. This whole thing is going to flip. Jesus, our Lord, is not coming for a wimpish church that is shut in and is hiding. Praise the Lord. No. That's not happening. My mouth cannot be shut, and your mouth cannot be shut. But which kind of people are going to experience this? A people that God will raise up by his Spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12, I started out sharing that passage with you last night, Deuteronomy 28 and 12. It says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, in his, not in its season. It is not the rain that is determining the season. God himself is determining the season. And he's determined that this is the season. And when God speaks, that's what happens. Praise the Lord. He says, to bless all the work of thine hand. Open your hands. Say with me, the works of my hands are blessed. These are prosperous hands. These are creative hands. These are healing hands. These are hands of deliverance. These are hands that destroy the workings of the evil one. These are hands of peace. These are hands of war. These are victorious hands. Hands that will never see failure. Hands that will always prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. And thou shalt lend to nations. Thou shalt not borrow. Well, in the book of Job, the 14th chapter, beginning to read from the 7th verse, we understand that yes, God wants to give us rain. But in this particular verse, the Word of God says, just the scent of water. Just the scent. You know, there are people who can tell you when it's going to rain, when even the weather doesn't look like there are any dark clouds for rain. Just walking around says, it's going to rain. It can smell rain. Well, the Word of God says, for there is a hope of a tree. There is a hope of a tree. What is the hope? If it be cut down, that it will sprout again. Oh, my Lord God Almighty. A tree has a hope. Oh, so you're going to cut me down. Yeah? You're going to cut me down. Okay, cut me down and see if I don't come back up. If a tree can think like that, oh my God, what can I think? The hope of a tree that if it be cut down, it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. He says, you cannot get rid of me. I'm coming back up. I have a plant, an apple tree right behind me in my house, in my yard, in my yard, just behind the kitchen. This tree, we thought it was a nuisance. So we cut it down. We cut that tree down. We poured all kinds of poison into it, trying to kill it. We did everything possible to kill that apple tree. And we thought we got rid of it. The next year, what we thought we had killed smelt. It smelt water. That's water. I'm coming back. You thought you got rid of me? I'm coming back. Then shut up. Start growing. Huh? You mean you won't die? Since you refuse to die, then you should live. Last year, it shot out 5 apples. Wow. This thing is rootless. This year, the whole tree is full of flowers for apples. Just about 5 or 6 years ago, we tried to kill that thing. That says, I have a hope of a tree that if I be cut down, I will sprout again. And that my tender branches will not cease. I will always be here. That's been the story of the church of Jesus Christ. The narrows of this world have come. The Claudiuses of this world have come and they have ransacked the church. We're going to get rid of the church. But the church is still here. Just like Israel is still here. The Romans are long gone. The Assyrians are long gone. You know, some of these countries that we call, you say, okay, that's Syria. No. The original Syrians are no longer here. Every group that went against Israel do not exist. And so it is also that every force that have come against the church of Jesus Christ have failed. The church is still here. There still are people who know their God and will not be exploited by the forces of darkness. If anybody's going to get exploited, we do the exploiting. Hallelujah. Because the Lord whom we follow led captivity captive. We are not tail. We are head. We are not beneath. We are above only. That is our MO. We are the people of God. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, dead, kaput. Verse 9, yet through the scent of water, it will bud. Hallelujah. Through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs. like a plant. What is the Word of God telling us? That we are an unstoppable force. Just like our Lord, the devil thought, I got him licked. He's finished. He is finished. He is done. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And within the next 40 days, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, he did so many miracles. So many miracles that if they were all written down, the books will fill the whole earth. 3.5 years. And there's a listing of some of the miracles that he did. But in 40 days, he did so much. Where do you start? We can't even mention the things that the man did. So let's just say he did so much. Why was he doing it? To give infallible proof that he is the Son of God. And that same God is saying to you and I am going to do so much through you that there's no way to document it anymore. What are you going to do? Where are you going to start? Where are you going to start? Because God is causing us to breathe. And the breath of life that is coming forth through us is bringing forth life. We're talking about today, well, we're talking about viruses. And how people pollute other people. Who pollute other people? Who pollute other people? That's the power of that particular virus. Whether it be HIV or Ebola or COVID. Corona disease. Well, in the same wise, good can't spread. God does not want us to receive power for power's sake. He wants you and I to receive power so that we can be witnesses of Him. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all to the uttermost parts of the earth. You and I can decide what that means. For us, our Jerusalem is Winnipeg. We can say, in Winnipeg, you shall be witnesses unto me in Winnipeg, in Manitoba, in Canada, and on to the uttermost parts of the earth. But God wants us to be witnesses unto Him. What does that mean? It is not just about us witnessing to people. It is about us witnessing or reporting back to Him. So, you are going to come back and report back to me every day. Lord, amazing things happened today. The Holy Spirit did amazing things today. There were 100 blind people that I saw today. There were 1,000 marriages that got restored today. And we come back to God and we'll report, and you bring your 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 report, and we bring our report, and our report is about the mighty move of God in the earth. And God says, anything else you need? Yeah. I need to go clear up the psych ward at HSC. Is that all? What about the cancer ward? Yeah. How do you intend to do that? I don't know. What do you think, Father? Okay. This is what we're going to do. You're going to go there, and you are just going to step into that department, the Department of Psychiatry, and when you step in there, all of those things that are wrong in there will clear out. That's all. Oh. Well, no, I need to go lay hands on every single one of them. Why do you want to do that? So that they know that you did it? Nobody needs to know that you did anything. It's the results that we're looking for. And the report back to the Father that you went, I went to St. Boniface Hospital today. And what happened, son? Well, I believe that all of those people there that were diabetics got healed. The people with heart problems got healed. You believe that? Yes, Father. All right, it is done. God wants to raise up a people that will partner with Him. Is it God's will to do that? The Bible says the sick, all of them were healed. Jesus healed all of them. Well, He said we are going to do greater things. And He wants to do it with me and with you. Praise the Lord. And some people say, well, is that wishful thinking? Is that going to happen? Well, for you, if you think it's wishful thinking, for you, it is wishful thinking. For me, it is this, that God says in His word that He will do exceedingly, far above anything that you dare ask or think. Is that what His word says? Well, so forget about your wishful thinking. Let me have my own wishful thinking. Because my thinking is aligned to what God's word says. The God we serve is a good God. He came to destroy all the works of the devil. Did He not? Well, if He came to destroy all the works of the devil, are people still dying from cancer? Are they? This afternoon, got a text message. A young man that I've known for years, worked for one of my sisters. Been driving, chauffeuring her for almost 25 years. He was almost like, not almost, he was family. Passed away, young man. That is the work of the devil. The work of the devil is people still doing drugs. Lying on our streets. Mindless. That's the work of the devil. So the works of the devil are still operating in the world. But the word of God says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So why is it not happening? Why am I not saying it? Because he did it as it is finished so that I can confess it as done. I am part of the finishing work of what he began. He wants to continue to do that in me, with me, by me, through me. In you, by you, through you, and with you. It says, lo, I will be with you unto the end of the world. So lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah? Cast out demons. Raise the dead. He said that after he said it is finished. So that must tell me that that finishing is a finishing as something that is already, the account, the bank account is already full. All that I need is already available. I must draw from that to do what God wants. Praise the Lord. The word of God says in the book of Isaiah, let me begin to wind down. In Isaiah chapter 40, beginning to read from verse 18, God says, to whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? To whom are you going to liken God? And who are you going to compare God to? Verse 19. He basically says, you don't compare me to those silly idols that you guys got. The workman melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold and casted silver chains. 20. And he that is so impoverished, the poor guy that had no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. The poor man gets a nice tree that will not rot. And gets a workman to work it out, and he creates an idol that does not move. The rich one goes and melts some gold and some silver and creates his image. Is that what you're going to compare me with? Stuff that man made? Man made gods? Have you not known? And have you not heard? Had it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that seated upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Don't you understand that I sit on the circle of the earth, and that all mankind is like grasshoppers? In essence, if you cannot grasp this, understand that I'm nowhere compared to what you guys are doing over there. Verse 23. He says, I'm the God that bringeth princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. I can reduce governments. So, if he can do that, why do I subject myself to that when I'm part of the greater? You understand? Next verse. Yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be planted. And in this move of God, let it be known that there's going to be operation or pushion. It's becoming a new word. It says, yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. The world may make all kinds of noises and say, we are going to do this and do that. And God says, no, you're not. Not if I have a people. And God has a people. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. God is saying, I cannot be compared to you. And if you have gods that are made or that are not immovable, inanimate objects, and it is your princes that you say they are your gods and your celebrities and they have the power, let me tell you what, I'm going to get rid of them too because they're not going to compare with me. That's why I'm very convinced that the devil is going to be begging for God to take us out. Please, can you remove these guys? Hallelujah. Oh, the people that know their God, they are going to do some serious damage to the kingdom of darkness. The people that don't know their God, that are just churchgoers, those are the people that are going to be in serious trouble. They'll be saved. But because they've given so much authority and power to the enemy will run them downtown, uptown, and everywhere else. But there's going to be a people that the devil sees them and say, what have I to do with you? Have you come to destroy us before our time? Those people. I believe those kind of people are in this house. They're everywhere where God's name is truly exalted. He says, I will blow them away as stubble. 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, say the Holy One? Who is it that you're going to liken me to? Remember, that's the question he's asking, right? Who are you going to compare me with? Who are you going to liken me to? And then he says, lift up your eyes on high. Oh, glory. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who had created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. He's talking about the stars, the elements. But do you understand that when God talks about the stars, the sun and the moon, that he's talking about people? Joseph dreamt, I saw the moon and the sun and the stars bowing down to me. And the father said, do you mean me and your mother? And he understood. that the stars. And God says, I'm going to bless you like the stars. Innumerable. Hello. He says, I know that every one of them by name, and not one faileth. Praise God. Next verse. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Why are you saying things like, my way is hid from the Lord? And my judgment is passed over from my God. God doesn't see, and therefore he's not able to make judgment. God says, no. And that's what we're talking about at the very beginning, about having the fear of God. God knows everything. God sees everything. You know why I know? Because before anything of importance happens around me, I know about it. 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. I know everything that's happening. I'll be looking at people sometimes and say, I know you. I know what you're about. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. Because the word of God says love believeth all things. And don't take any offenses. If I tell you stuff, you say, no kidding, God will do that? You know, sometimes we'll say, oh, I was planning to do this, but then he preached about it. And now I cannot do that anymore because he just preached about it. And they don't know. I was already in your discussion, man. I was there when you were thinking it. Because my God knows before you thought it. Praise the Lord. And the God that we're talking about here is taking us, every one of us, deeper. When the Lord began to speak to me about this dimension, you know, my first thoughts were, I don't know God. And the more he talked to me about what he wants to do, the more I recognize, oh my, I have not even started. I know nothing. It got to the point where I started wondering, am I saved yet? this where you're going is Lord God Almighty. Huh? Am I saved? Yeah, I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ and all of that. He forgives and all of that. But the fact is that God is too big that our finite natural mind cannot contain. We think we know God. We don't know nothing. What exactly do you know about God? And what God wants to do in us and with us, when you think that you've arrived, you find out you're not even started. All eternity, we're going to be learning about God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that the cherubims with their wings, you know, covering their faces, wings covering their feet, and with two they're flying and they're going around the throne, and as they're going around the throne, they're going, holy, holy, holy. You know why they're crying, holy, 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 holy? Because every time as they're going around, they see another dimension of God that they've not seen before. If you've not, just think about it, the billions and trillions of snow that drop on the earth, not one of them is the same. Not one. There's no duplicate. You know, you want to figure out God? When twins, even twins, triplets, let me not show my ignorance by going higher than that. They can have the same fingerprint. Same DNA, not the same fingerprint. You think you figured God? You figured what? Figured what? Don't even say my ways hid from the Lord. Because it's that same Lord that reveals to me and says, this is what's going on. This is what is being said. The other day, the Lord took me into a dimension, and I heard somebody talking about, talking about us being doing rituals, and I said to the president, what rituals are we doing? Oh yeah, you're blowing that shofar. I said, so you've forgotten why we blow the shofar, right? We blow the shofar because we're talking about God, remember me. We're blowing the shofar to signify that God is at war against the enemy. We're blowing the shofar. And I said, listen, why we blow the shofar? We light the candles, the menorah, just to signify that we are saying, God, let your spirit. You talk about your seven spirits in the Word of God. Let the glory of your spirit shine forth in this place. And this person is talking about, these rituals. I said to the Lord, should I stop blowing the shofar because this guy is talking this nonsense? He said, did I tell you to stop it? I said, no. So then don't take instructions from what the accusations of the enemy. I said, but we've been blowing it for the longest time and lighting the menorah for the longest time. But he said, no, says to me, he says, didn't I tell you that the church, at the time I come, is going to look just like the Old Testament church because I'm bringing the old and the new together to make the new man. It's right there in the Word of God. The new man is about Israel and the church coming together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the discussions and the lies of the enemy, the accusations of the enemy, they make all kinds of crazy sense. But the truth is the truth of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So you know I was in your discussion, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Word of God goes on. In verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Watch that. Fainteth what? Not. And neither is what? Is weary. The everlasting Lord what? Fainteth what? Not. And is not what? Weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Fainteth not, is not weary. He's talking, who can you compare me with? You can't compare me with anybody, not those idols. And not with your princes, those people that you set up and you say they are your celebrities and they are this and they are that. No. You can't compare me with that. 29. He says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Well, these people. 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Youth in the height of their youthfulness, when they should be so strong, it says, they faint and they get weary. I was talking to my son just the other day, and that's another miracle that happened. I had a fridge that went dead. So I was calling him and said, I need to move this fridge out and replace it. And he said, okay, I'll come do it, but I'm going to need help and you cannot help me. I said, what do you mean I cannot help you? He says, well, because you're not strong enough. I said, who are you talking to? who are you talking about? Who's not strong enough? Well, you say, well, not that you're not strong enough. It's just that it's going to be awkward. I said, right. Well, when you're young, you're strong. And when you're old, you think you're still strong. But the Lord gives you strength. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord gives you strength. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. George Foreman said, who are you calling old? Huh? Who are you calling? Come into the ring. Let's fight. And he knocked down the young man. See, I'm strong. Well, when you're a foreman, you can say that. And when you're a child of the living God, you can say the same. Even you shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, I like this. But they that wait upon the Lord. He says, who can you compare me with? Don't forget that. That is the trust of the text. Who can you compare me with? Who are you going to look at and say, this reflects me? He says, it's the people that wait upon the Lord. Those that are waiting, go wait for me in the upper room. Wait for me, and then my power is going to come. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, my power is going to come upon you. I'm the God who infuses the weak with strength. They say, you are non-essential. And God says, I'm going to show them who is essential and who is not essential. Hallelujah. I remember one year, a flood was coming. At that time, we were in Maryland. Serious flood coming into the city. The Lord gave me a word. I was preaching it and says, I'm God who puts limits on the flood. I'm not saying that I was the only one praying. There were lots of people praying. But you know, you can be praying and be praying out of fear and out of unbelief. You know, sometimes the louder you get, the more unbelief we can see. Because when somebody's ministering in the authority of faith, they're not there screaming. They're speaking with authority. So the Lord says, go stop that flood. I said, so what? He said, go stop it. I said, the government and everybody, they bargain and everything. He said, go stop it. Okay. I said, and where exactly am I supposed to go? He says, come with me. So this is the first time I'm ever sharing this. Ever. So I went to the San Vital area. And I saw the water. It was lapping underneath the bridge. The stop signs, everything covered underwater. The city is about to be flooded. He said, tell it to stop. This is the line. and begin to recede. So there are people there, and different people, saints praying, doing their thing. I just came, said, according to the directives of the Lord, I command you, stop. Begin to recede. Got into the vehicle and drove off. Water. Dropped. We all prayed. I'm not saying that I did anything. That's not the point. I'm saying that God will use people to speak to situations. He may use me. He may use you. He may use you. Because he is not going to get the enemy to figure out who it is that he's going to use when he's going to use it. Not everything that's going to happen in the house of God is going to happen because of me. There are things that are going to happen just around. I'm reminded as I begin to wrap up. How many times have I been wrapping up now? We had a special meeting. I think we still have the flyer upstairs. And we had maybe about 5 or 6 guest speakers. It was a prayer conference. All gathered here. And on this particular day, the Lord said, today, we're going to play football. I said, huh? What do you mean football? We are having a service, not football. What football are you talking about? He said, today I'm going to be quarterback. I said, okay, well, exactly what does that mean? Exactly what I said. I said, yeah, I heard what you said, but what does that mean? He said, it means I'm going to play quarterback. I said, I heard you said you're going to play quarterback, but what does that mean? He says, I'm going to throw the ball to whoever it is I want to throw the ball to. I said, okay. And I'm thinking, it might be me. It might be this minister, this prophetess, this whoever. I'm wearing the service. And all of a sudden, the Lord throws the ball. It did not come to any of us, mighty men and women of God. The next thing I saw happening is my daughter actually caught the ball. And now she's ministering to people. We are here. She's ministering to people. She's over there ministering to people, and people are dropping. Boom, one after the other, falling under the power of God. There are people on this side watching. What's going on there? Why are they stopping it? God said he's playing quarterback. Pretty soon, everybody cleared up from this side, line up over here. And actually, he's busy laying hands on people. You guys remember this? God said, I'm playing quarterback. And he's going to do the same thing again. Hallelujah. One day I might come here ready to preach, and God is saying, no, today is quarterback. The ball's gone to somebody else. Say, well, the Lord says, I'm not the one preaching today. Hey, brother, come. But I'm not ready. I didn't prepare anything. He just said, open your mouth and I will what? Fill it. God is going to do what God wants to do. And what he's going to do, he's not going to do just with some pastor. He's going to do it with his body. Somebody listening? They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. The word is kavar. And means to eagerly and earnestly look out with expectancy, to linger. But that word also means to bind together. They that get bound together with the Lord. In other words, become one with the Lord. Shall have their strength renewed. See it this way, a big tree and a small shrub. The storm is blowing and that little twig is going all over the place. And then you tie it together with a big tree and all of a sudden it is just as stable as the big tree. Its weakness is transferred to the big tree, and the strength of the big tree is transferred to the little twig. Are you with me? That's that word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They get their strength renewed. Hallelujah. It says, this verse needs more work than I'm going to do tonight. So, let me just put it this way. Next time that the Lord lets me come through with this, I'll come here just to that verse by itself. There's too much information there. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They have their strength renewed. The Hebrew word for renewal there is a word that says, it's a word that means to hasten, to get quickened. So when God talks about renewing, he's talking about hastening and quickening you. Quickening your strength, enhancing it, growing it up, causing your strength to go forward. Hallelujah. It means to strike. To have your strength renewed, to strike through. Impact. Just like a guy who they say in martial arts, if you want to break bricks, right? They say in the training that you've got to see your hand on the other side. You with me? So you've got to see your hand on the other side of it. If you just see your hand hitting it, you're going to be, oh, my hand is broken. When you see your hand on the other side, this becomes a weapon that cuts through. You understand? Well, that's the same idea. When the word of God says renew there, it is striking through. Your strength is renewed that it strikes through. It says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Have you not heard that God is not what? Weary. You see it? So God says, you cannot liken me to those inanimate objects, gold, silver, wood, whatever. And you cannot compare me with those these princes that you've got. I'll blow upon them and they get out of the way. But I tell you what. You want to know who I am? Look at this one here. This one that's waiting on me. This one that's bound to me. This one that has their mind focused on me. This is what I'm talking about. You want to see God? See Him. This is the manifestations of the sons of God. Did you hear anything yet? Why do I spend the time teaching? I spend the time teaching so that the Word of God says, "In our we as a man thinketh, so is he." Yeah? So when you have an understanding of what the Word of God is, you become like the Word that you're hearing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God is preparing us for that which He wants to do. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I shared with you about the tree, the scent of the tree. And basically, the thought is this. Don't look at yourself as dead and incapable. I'm such a mess. God cannot use me. Think like the tree. Have the hope of the tree. That when the scent of water smells it, it says, I'll sprout again. I'll come up. I'm coming alive. Think the same way today. I'm coming alive. We are a resurrected church. We are the body of Christ. We have ascended with Him. We are seated with Him. And we are demonstrating the power of God now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. How do you receive it? By faith. How? By faith. Knowing faith. That means you start acting like it. You don't need an experience where your hair grows like Don King's for you to say, oh, I got zapped. Oh, I got it now. No. That's not what we're talking about. Samson did not build up muscles. He just carried the gate away. And people wondered, how is it that this, what? How did that happen? Tell us what the secret of his power is. If he was all muscular, they wouldn't be asking the question, tell us the secret. It was because he was not like what they expected. Amen? John the Baptist was not going around with a three-piece suit. It looked so crude, and people didn't understand it. That's how it's going to be for you and I. People don't understand it. What is the secret of this? How did this happen? How it happened is God. That's the only explanation. Amen? Praise the Lord. Rise with me.